Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here on this August day with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Milan Yurkovich, and your phone calls right after this on New Life Live.
Appreciate your show. That's why I'm calling.
The program you're getting ready to hear includes humor and some extreme examples.
I was trying to get high, and it got out of control. And my family's hurt, and my wife told me that the children are scared.
You know, at 3 years old, they're not completely identified with their gender yet.
That's a tough call. I mean,
what's tough about that?
My son-in-law has framed me in a certain framework right now.
Imagine that.
What a surprise.
She doesn't have control of you. So she's really not controlling at that point. She's just probably frustrated.
You have your umbilical cord and you keep trying to plug it into people to say, will you nurture me?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hey, Jill.
Hey, Steve. Glad to
and,
be here.
Yes, I'm glad you're here, too. And Milan Yurkovich.
Hey, Steve. I just love listening to some of those things.
That the bloopers?
Yeah, the things they say. I think they're you know, Dave talking about people plugging their umbilical cord into things, and just sounds interesting.
Well, speaking of taking things out of context, which it kind of does. Milan, you served as a pastor. You're one of the most effective counselors. Now you've got a wonderful ministry. People are very confused about the Bible, truth, medication, issues about counseling. And I was listening to a program today, and they were still confusing people about medication and counseling and other things. But I want to ask about this. How does a person know if the person that is giving their version of truth, how do you know if that's the truth? Or the thing you heard on Sunday was the truth, or that thing on the radio was the truth. Everybody's reading the same Bible and coming up with different conclusions. You get what I'm asking?
Well, the answer is I have no idea what the answer is.
No
to
idea.
That
okay.
How to find absolute
then,
truth?
Then I don't feel so bad about myself.
Well, it's complicated because you know I think there's people that you are that we all can be impressed with that can have different viewpoints about things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what I had to do was stop and examine what I knew. And when I look back at what I knew as a pastor when I was 27 to 37 years old and what I now know at 62, it's a world of difference. And I still know the same amount of Bible, but I also know more about how the mind works.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a world where science is something we pay attention to in all other arenas. Why, you know, we'll get on a plane and pay attention to the science of physics. But what and medicine? But why won't we pay attention to the science of brain science, and to understand that, and especially with myself as a child, I had a very fearful, volatile environment as a child.
Yeah,
and it created this anxiety in me that carried into adulthood, and I tried every single thing in the world, but I didn't realize what it would take to calm my brain down. And literally an antidepressant for 18 months helped me recalibrate, helped me resettle, along with the therapy I was doing, to improve so substantially that I, A, didn't need the medication again, and B, my anxiety began to settle down. I began to learn how to control that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was an experiential answer to answer your question.
Experiential.
Well, yeah, I experienced something new and different, which then sort of messed with my definitions of truth prior to that, and I had to figure out how to integrate those two things.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, I do think that our interpretation of the Bible is quite different than others, and where we read there is a bomb in Gilead, maybe that indicates that you don't just instantly get freed of everything, that there might be a salve that would help, that when Jesus had people go through a process of washing themselves in the river or washing mud off their eyes, maybe an external substance is okay, maybe there's a process rather than an instant cleaning or healing. We see it differently than other people do. But I'll tell you, I'm around with you guys and John and Henry and Sherry. I'm around people that have credibility. And I really believe that all of you know what you're talking about, and I trust you and your truth.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. Let's go right to the phones and let's talk with Catherine from San Diego. She listens online. Hi, Catherine. Welcome.
Thank you.
What's going on?
I hate to give you so much background, but I have to. I got married when I was 25. I have been just madly in love with Jesus since I was a little girl.
Great.
And I was not raised in a Christian home, so it was amazing. I met and married my husband because I had finally found somebody that was as passionate about the things of God
mm-hmm.
as I was. He's also brilliant and fascinating, and we were in the ministry together. And he left. We were married for 17 years, and then he left and divorced me. And I was a single parent raising our 3 girls.
Well, what happened? You described him as an amazing human being. What happened?
He was. You know what, Steve? I really don't know. He started to just pull away from God and from church, and we did have a very hard 17 years. It's not like, you know, the devil's not going to leave you alone. If you're the quarterback and you're carrying the ball,
yeah,
you know, you're going to get tackled. And we got tackled a lot, and I just think he... I don't know. He never could give. He never really could give a reason when we did go to counseling for 6 years, and the counselor said to him, you know, you're leaving everything you ever wanted, and if you don't continue counseling, you're going to marry another Catherine, and you're going to break her heart too.
Okay, well, bring us up. Okay,
yeah.
Bring us up
okay,
to date. So you did you get
okay,
remarried?
So here's what's up to. Yes, he did, and that is exactly what happened.
Did you get remarried?
I did, and that's why I'm calling.
Okay.
I got remarried 5 years ago. I totally believe in in 3 more witnesses. There's wisdom. All of my accountability people, I am very much into accountability. I passed everyone, whoever, I didn't date much, but anyone that I was serious about, I, you know, had all my pastor, my accountability people, my parents, and I fell in love with a guy about 10 years ago, would have walked off a cliff to be with him, and every one of my accountability people said, this is not the guy. And I got to tell you, that was very hard. And it took me quite a while to heal from that. I still think of him. But
what do you mean you still think of him? You're married to him, aren't you?
No. No, this was a guy before I met... Okay, I got married 5 years ago. okay?
Mm-hmm.
10 years ago, when I was still single.
It was someone you were dating.
Yes, when I was mm-hmm. dating, which I did not do a whole lot of. Okay.
Right.
So I met this guy, and we just hit it off. So, I mean, that's the only person I can ever say it was like a soulmate. But all of my accountability people, all of them, were very insistent that this is not the guy for you.
Now, okay, so get us where we need to go here.
Okay. So, I just want to say how that was very difficult when my heart is pounding and I'm crazy in love with this nut and everybody's telling me this is not the person. I just want you to understand how seriously I take... I'm like, okay, you guys all cannot be wrong. It must
so
be me.
You didn't marry that guy, right?
I did not marry that guy.
But you married somebody else.
I married another guy who everyone was just like, oh, my gosh, this is so the guy.
Mm-hmm.
This is the most wonderful. Took it real, real slow. My kids loved him.
Did you?
My parents, blah, 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 blah. So we get married 5 years ago. And, I don't sleep with people until I marry them. And I knew right away something right here. Bottom line. He can go for months without having sex. He can go for, I think he would be perfectly happy, quite frankly, to just have a buddy. This shocked me, really shook my world. He did not want to go to counseling, but he went.
Catherine, what's your question of us? Okay, so your husband could go a long time without sex. What's your question of us here now?
Okay, my question is, he's not budging. He doesn't believe in any more counseling. His out is, I just don't think I'm ever going to be what you need.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, so basically he's not trying at all.
So is sex the only problem?
No, but that's a big one.
But is that the only problem? I'll never satisfy you, Catherine. Is that in multiple areas or just sex?
It's in the biggest area is me. He's inattentive.
Okay, so I'm asking you a question. Is it just about sex, or is his complaint about other areas as well?
Am I complaining about it?
No, him.
He has no complaints. He's
happy.
You know, he'll say, you're the most wonderful person. Exactly. Doesn't it drive you crazy? I'm like, what am I doing? What is it? What, you know, I've been in counseling for 15 years.
So do you want to know my answer?
Yes.
You're overwhelming.
That's it. I knew it. And I am. I am overwhelming.
I mean,
I know that.
Everything you described to us today was over a cliff for this guy and intense and in love with Jesus to such intensity. And you just are an intense person. And if somebody doesn't match that intensity, it drives you nuts.
You're right. But the people that match the intensity are crazy.
Well, there's the answer to the question is maybe I need to begin looking at my intensity. And is intensity the same as intimacy? And no, it's not. And a lot of people start off relationships with God and people, and they believe that intensity is the marker of intimacy. And it is not, because guess what? Intensity will wax and wane. Intensity will rise and fall. Intensity will vary. And that is not a sign of intimacy.
Hey, and here's the other thing. Catherine, you're looking at him and saying, wow, why doesn't he see that I have this need and desire and he won't budge to meet it? But if you could get in his heart.
You just nailed it. You just nailed it.
Let me tell you what I'm trying to nail here. Here's what I'm trying to nail. But okay. He might, if you could get down deep in his heart, he might be thinking, yeah, why doesn't she meet this need and this desire of mine to connect with another person? She bulldozes over me. She doesn't care what I think or feel. She is just into herself, and she doesn't connect with me, the man. Maybe that's inside of him.
Well, Steve, I hear you. But the thing is, after the counseling for 3 or 4 months, the counselor said to me, this guy loves you, but he does not do intimacy, is not interested in intimacy, and has just kind of, because let me tell you, I'm all about people. I'm all about
right. But the next question
you
for your, the question he, for your counselor
would be. He says I don't
be,
know to any question I ask him about
okay.
feelings,
but the,
any
the,
question.
Okay, but the question for that counselor would be, okay, so he's not into intimacy. Any idea why, and any idea how to help him move closer to that?
Well, you mean what I can do, or what the he doesn't? He won't go back to counseling. He thinks it's
okay. So, yeah. Catherine, you know that you're overwhelming. You know yeah. you like things big and exciting and passionate, and
right.
you know this guy doesn't. I mean, he may
right.
really appreciate it in you, but that isn't his style.
Right.
And I've said before, it's kind of like you're charging a kitten. And if you charge a kitten, they run away. Mm. In order to get a kitten to come towards you, you have to sit still and invite them, but then you wait. And you make it safe for them to kind of move forward and move about. So he needs kind of the opposite of what you're looking for. And so when you keep trying to make things big and exciting to meet that need in you, you run him off emotionally. And so he shuts down and he doesn't have the answer. And right?
Yeah.
Because you're not going to really wait long enough for him to figure it out. It's just easier to let you have the answer.
Hey, Catherine, I have a question for you.
Sure.
What's worse? High blood pressure or low blood pressure?
High blood pressure.
Well,
it's
no,
a tongue
no.
twister.
See, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
See, both of them could
no,
kill.
No, it's not. I'm a nurse, and high blood pressure.
Well, just listen. You know, I have a family member that died because of low blood pressure. It just got so low that they, you know, okay. So both of them are not good.
Mm-hmm.
The point is. Something too hot is not good too high. Something too low is not good. So in the medical world, you have hyper and hypo definitions. And both of them can not be good for you. Hyperthyroidism, hypothyroidism, neither one of them are good. So let's say you are hyper in terms of the intensity and overwhelming, and your complaint is legitimate that he's hypo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't have the ability to identify feelings and emotions. And he's what we would describe in our book as the avoider. And in essence, he doesn't know how to respond to you. And he's overwhelmed, and so he shuts down, like Jill was saying. And the question is, and, you know, the counselor needs to address both people and to say, what do we have to do to take this dance that's formulated by two people? And for each one of them to work on bringing themselves into a place where they're closer to the other individual and each person trying. But Jill, I mm-hmm. love your analogy of a kitten. You know, how do you draw a person, a kitten in?
Right. And Mylan, in your book, you uh-huh. have a workbook section
yeah.
as a part of that. And you offer really good questions and things for couples with this dynamic to
right.
ask each other as a way of slowing things down, but then allowing something to happen and take place, right?
So now that we've established this as a pattern that Christine has, you know, her first husband.
Catherine.
Her first husband, a second guy that she just was really intense for, a third guy that she loves and likes, okay? He's a good man, but she can't match my intensity. You know, what do we do there? And we can learn in this particular time of this relationship to learn to do something different. It's going to be, but it's not just going to be about addressing the husband. It's going to be about what do I need to do about me, and why do I take intensity and make that equal to intimacy? And I've got to work on that if I'm Catherine.
Okay, I'm happy to work on
it. You're not alone, my friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You are just like so many of us out there that we all struggle with being either hyper or hypo. I can't talk on this call, can I, for some reason?
No.
See, you got me flustered, Catherine.
Yes, I seem to have
we
that
get
effect
the
on
gist
people.
Of it.
But look, I love your heart. Your heart mm-hmm. wants
and
to connect.
And you sound like a lot of fun.
And you do. You sound like a hoot. You'd be fun to spend time with. But what do we do in romantic relationship if we are pushing people away?
Right. Yeah. Talk right. less, slow down.
Yeah. Mylan's book is coming your way, How We Love. And Catherine, I really appreciate you calling us and allowing us to be open and honest there with you. We'll be back for more right after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And, you know, Dr. Hubbard showed up on the show and just gave us a new awareness of how valuable it is to have a brilliant female on the program. And then we brought in Dr. Sherry Denham, and it doubled the value. And Dr. Denham is going to be doing Women in the Battle next month, September the 23rd through the 25th. If you're involved with a sexually addicted man, a man that is having trouble controlling lust and other things, come get some help for yourself. This is for you, Women in the Battle, September 23, 24, 25. You can find out more about it simply by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE or by going to the website newlife.com. Let's talk with Bill from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. He listens online. Hi, Bill.
Hello, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
What I'm struggling with right now, just a little bit of a background, 38 years with the same woman. I'm 56 years old. And right now I'm struggling with myself with being truthful.
Okay.
The integrity part of my life, I do a lot of the surface things in our marriage.
Yeah.
I flinch, and my wife agrees that I do well, but it's it's this underlying stuff that I'm struggling with.
Okay.
And that pretty much came about because of my, sexual integrity that I had when I was working on the road. And she is fully aware of what I did and the affairs that I had, and she's forgiven me for that.
Okay.
And we're still together. And I guess I'm trying to find out why I explode my life at 56 years old, that I should know how to survive in a marriage and have the integrity in myself that I could show to my wife. And that's what I'm... That's that right now, and what had happened right now is that...
Okay, wait just a second. Let me ask you a question. What have you been involved with that would be character building for you since you made this confession to your wife?
Well, we've gone to counseling.
Uh-huh.
We've been counseling and knowing what I did, it was just putting a Band-Aid over what I realized now what I was doing. I always thought that I could control this problem that I had.
Okay, but what did you do other than counseling with her to help you truly not just control the problem, but to grow? That's what I'm interested in.
Other than telling her that I'm going to go get help and go to counseling and be that honest guy that she's always wanted in her life.
Mm-hmm.
It's been all just lip service. I'm tired of exploding my life, and I need to find out how to do that.
Here's
an adult relationship.
The deal. Let me just jump in here, and then I'll turn it over to Myla and Jill. You've obviously, you're aware of your problem. And you
Yes.
obviously want to change the problem, but the question is going to be if you're willing to do what it would take to change it. See, that's where you get messed up, is your talk is big, your desire is great, but the willingness has been zero. So, Jill, Mylon, what do you think? If he's willing to do anything to change, what would he need to do?
Go ahead,
well,
Jill.
Bill, you need to do absolutely everything you can think of and what other people offer to make those changes. So it's great that you've come to a place where you say, okay, I'm tired of this, but we're all kind of creatures of habit. We do the very things we hate. And so now it means taking those next steps. If you've had a problem, I mean, first of all, the hallmark of all addiction is lying. Is dishonesty. So you have to no longer do anything that you would have to lie about, right? And so being places where you are accountable for telling the truth, not just by your wife, but being in either 12-step groups, counseling, support groups, church groups, where you are committed to truth-telling
yeah.
is a biggie. You talked about having affairs. I think every man's battle would be a great thing for you.
It's a good beginning.
Mm-hmm. It would get you started and make you aware. Because you might even think, well, I think that I'm willing, but you just don't know really what it would take. And every man's battle would help you get an idea of the level of attention you have to give to this. It has to become like your number one job.
And Bill, it's not just giving up an addiction and understanding why I do it. It's also learning what mm-hmm. true intimacy is, which is learning to share feelings and emotions, and then learning to have empathy, because a person that has affairs does not have empathy for themselves or their spouse. So those are two things I must learn as an adult, intimacy and empathy, if I'm as the other side of the coin
mm-hmm.
of working on the addiction.
Absolutely.
Because that allows me to have something new in a relationship.
To replace it with,
To
right?
replace it
mm-hmm.
with. Mm-hmm.
empathy is not something that is easy to develop either. It takes a lot of work. We'll be back after this.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We are back. Bill, you still there?
Yes, I am.
All right. So we've said a lot of stuff. What do you think about what we're saying? How does that make you feel? What do you think?
The empathy the empathy that I feel and it is definitely something that I struggle with. And people feel that I'm standoffish and don't have that empathy that I should be showing. And you're mm-hmm. you're spot on. You're absolutely right in that. The fear that I have right now is that you hear about the truth will set you free, and in my case, I'm afraid that the truth will end in divorce, and my wife is telling me, and I believe her wholeheartedly, that what we've gone through and what she's experienced with me, that she's forgiven me, but truth is. She doesn't trust me.
Well, but does she know you're still lying to her?
She caught me in the lie about a year ago, and I am not lying to her since then. Everything is but that past came up in my life, and there was no reason for me to lie in that situation. But
you felt ashamed.
I felt ashamed of what I've done in my past, and it would have been very, very easy for me, because there was nothing behind it, is to tell her the truth. That this individual that was in my past, it was just a male person that worked with me. It was an innocent, but I felt that based on our relationship that I had, drew me back to the past. And I lied.
Yeah.
And
okay.
That's where my wife is now. She forgives me, but she doesn't trust me.
And you wouldn't want her to trust you, would you? You wouldn't want her to trust you because
No. You're absolutely right.
Okay.
And that's why I'm coming to you guys and to understand and how do I get this trust back in our relationship that
you go get some help, and you start with every man's battle, and then you continue in a recovery program, because all the recovery programs are honesty programs. So if you really want to help whatever it is that is down in there, that's what you need to do.
That would help. You know, Bill, was anybody ever empathetic to Bill as a little boy? Coddling is not empathy, but mm-hmm. did you experience empathy where somebody knew what was going on inside of you and connected with you and provided for you some comfort ever as a child?
My mother.
Was it an emotional comforting based upon honesty and truth? Steve just said something really important. He said honesty program. So was it just coddling, or was there an exploration of what was really frightening and scary or emotional inside of you, and then empathy and compassion given to you?
No.
Okay. Because coddling can be protection to
right.
not let you face your fears.
Right.
And to
it's
make
for
fears
the mom.
Goes,
it's the mom's
for the
fear.
Mom. You see, it's for to make her feel better or to stop you from feeling bad. But it doesn't address the intimacy and the empathy issues. That's why they're not in you. So if you have that, Bill, realizing that the reason that deficit's there is because I never had anybody train it into me at the early stages of my life. That helps to give you a reason why for some of this behavior. Now, how do we rebuild it? And Steve and Jill are absolutely right that we have to rebuild it in the context of community, in honesty-based programs where real feelings and emotions are shared, because if you don't share what you're really feeling, then you cannot tell somebody what you need. And, you know, it'll be up to your wife to see if she responds to that.
It mm-hmm. means you have to risk and experience at times those feelings of shame, right? But risk anyway, so that then you can experience people accepting you and loving you in your shame. That helps that shame go away, because the lying is fueled by those shameful feelings. That at a gut level, you automatically lie because you feel shame about yourself. Sounds like at your very core.
Hmm. Well, I'm glad that you called, and I hope and pray something we've said has been helpful to you. And honesty. At least you desire it, and now you get to determine for yourself what you're willing to do. Well, let's go to Colleen from Brea, California, listening on KKLA. Hi, Colleen. Welcome.
Hi. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. What's going on in your life today?
Well, actually, I'm just kind of stuck. I don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do.
Okay.
I'm recently married, and my husband became a different person once we got back home from the honeymoon.
Mm. How did that happen? Yeah. What happened? Why was he so different?
Well, there was things about his character that when we were engaged... I mean, you said we got engaged. I just wasn't really interested in a relationship, but we were friends. He's a single dad, and I was a single mom, and we did things together with our kids. And my mm-hmm. kids, my son especially, seemed to be really important to him. And then because my son gave me, you know, two thumbs up when he asked me to marry him, I said yes. And while we were engaged, he just was growing in leaps and bounds. I knew he was a young in the Lord, but he was willing to grow, and it was very exciting. So then once we got married, all of that stopped. He stopped paying attention to my son, and he kind of expects everything to be in his life the way that it was when he was a bachelor, because mm-hmm. he was a bachelor for a really long time.
Yeah.
And so none of my needs are being recognized, and every time, you know, I try to find a win-win for us, and it just causes conflict. So right now, I'm just keeping my mouth shut, and I'm staying out of his way, and my kids are staying out of his way, and I just can't see that this be the way of life. There's no quality of life for me right now.
Oh, that is so mm-hmm. sad, and actually quite common to see a person change a little bit, and then for some, change a lot after the honeymoon is over. It's very, very sad. Mylon, Jill, what do you think?
well, I'm very sorry mm-hmm. that you're having to go through this, Colleen. But I think you made an important point. You said we kind of just had a friendship, and it was kind of, you know, a casual thing. We enjoyed each other's company. The kids had people to be with. And so it was not an intentional emotional buildup to a marriage.
Right.
And if there's not an intentional emotional connection prior to marriage, your husband is saying, well, Danette, I don't have to be an intentional and emotional with my wife. It's a okay. learned behavior. And again, he's not having to do anything different than he ever did. You sort of accommodated to him. But why did you tolerate building a relationship and saying yes to someone where there's this, yes, he's growing and that's exciting in the Lord, but there's no emotional connection?
And is that true, Colleen, that between the two of you there was no emotional connection?
Yeah, it was. I can't say how he feels. I really can't.
We're talking about you, though.
Right. For me, there's other factors that played into the situation. My mom had just passed away, and I had lost my job, and I just kind of
it was
put
practical.
Myself in survival mode, and I did tell him that I wasn't ready to get married, but he just kind of said, well, you know, I'm going to be there. If you're okay. not there, then, you know, whatever. And I just, like I said, I was just in survival mode, and I wasn't really in my right mind that day. So, I mean, I don't know if that really answers your question.
Well, it does answer my yeah. question, because what you're wanting now is a high quality, my needs being met, I meet his needs. We can see and understand each other. We can communicate about what we're thinking and feeling. We have this reciprocal relationship that's high quality. And yet what
right.
I'm saying is you didn't have that before you got started. So why would
right.
you assume that it's just going to automatically be there now?
Mm-hmm. And well, see, I'm not assuming, because like I said, I'm trying to find win-wins for us. You know, I'm just trying to say, okay, can we spend time together doing this, and he just everything is just no. And like I said, anything I bring up, it causes conflict.
Yeah.
So I don't know how to communicate with him.
All right. Well, that okay, but now it's very clear. What do I do in a relationship
right.
where there is no emotional connection, and I have a
right.
stubborn, obstinate spouse who doesn't want to make it any different than it is?
Right.
Okay.
So we can help you with that. When we get back
okay.
from this break, you're listening to New Life Live. Women in the Battle coming up. Lose It for Life coming up. Those weekends are life-changing, transformational. Please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let us tell you all about it. We'll be back right after this for more of New Life Live and more phone calls.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ.
Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Okay, so Colleen, Mylon, finish up with Colleen here and see if we can give her some help given the reality of what she's going through.
Well, Colleen, I'm very sorry that you find yourself in this situation where basically you made choices that you said I was not in an optimal place, and now I'm all of a sudden stuck with somebody who is not what I thought they were going to be. And I'm so sorry about that. Okay? So the first place you have to go is to a place of just honest grief, where you stop and you say to yourself, uh-oh, I really did make a wrong turn in life here. I made a turn that I don't know what to do about. And you grieve that. And
right.
You're honest
about it. Understandable how you did that.
Okay.
But nonetheless.
Nonetheless, we acknowledge the full impact and force of that. Mm-hmm. And that is to deal with truth. And to even say to your husband, you know what? I realize I made a mistake. And to say, you know, right now it's not a win-win for anybody. He's winning, you're losing, and it is a mistake. And I'm going to pray about this, and I'm going to ask the Lord for wisdom. The one, you know, a lot of people stand up and say there's, you know, thousands of promises to the believer, and I don't believe that. I think there's only a few promises to the believer. But one of the promises that I know is absolutely there is in verse 5 of James. It says, if we're in trials and we don't know what to do, to ask for wisdom, and God will give it to all men generously and without reproach. And I ask God for wisdom what to do, and I make your husband an offer. You know, let's start going to some classes. Let's start reading some books together, because your husband does not know how to give you what you want. He doesn't know how. And so let's learn together how to come to a place.
And it probably makes him feel inadequate, so he avoids that.
That's right. And so let's learn together how to create a higher quality relationship. So would you be willing to read a book, go to a class, a seminar, a workshop, watch a DVD series, and let's see what we can do. Because spiritual maturity means that I'm going to grow in my emotional and relational maturity. And if he's going to get stronger as a Christian, he needs to also improve in his emotional, relational quotients
well. It's like he was really good at hunting, Colleen.
Yeah.
So while he was in the hunting mode, you know, you felt like there were going to be all these things. But once he got the catch, made the kill, well, he doesn't know how to do the maintaining mode, right?
No, he doesn't. Unfortunately, he's not willing. I mean, in the year that we did spend together, you know, I did, you know, come up with those suggestions. How about let's take a class, you know, a marital enrichment class, or let's read this book or this devotional. And it got to the point where he just said, no, why can't it just be okay?
Because it isn't. Colleen, he's maybe not willing because he doesn't know how, and it might even frighten him. Okay? And he's saying, why can't this just be good enough? Because it isn't. It's not okay in a marriage to only meet one person's needs.
Right.
And so that's part of being a marriage, because there's lots of marriages where they're legally married, but they really don't act married. And that's kind of what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. There's really nothing. I mean, I was gone for an extended trip, and he never asked when I was coming back how I was going to get home. I talked to him maybe once on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And it just left me feeling like, why should I even go back there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're sorry for what you've been through, and I want to send you healing as a choice, and let's send her How We Love also.
Sounds great. Sounds really good.
I want to read you a quote by Martin Luther. He said, a Christian man is the most free lord of all and subject to none. A Christian man is the most dutiful servant to all and subject to everyone. So he acknowledges our freedom and also points us to servanthood. And it's very similar to Mark 9:35. Anyone who wants to be first must take last place. And then here's this phrase I want to talk about. Be the servant of everyone else. You know, if a Christian man is in a marriage and he is the servant of everyone else, it sure does solve a lot of the problems that we hear about here on radio. I mean, we see guys jumping in and deciding, I will not talk. I will not have sex. I will be different. I will be who I want to be versus the servant to everyone. If there's something wrong, the servant says, hey, let's find out what it is that's wrong and let's do something about it. So I hope that if you are in a marriage, and it's a crummy marriage, as a man, you could step up and say, I'm going to be the servant here. I'm going to take the high road, or I'm going to be the one to step out and risk here and try to change it versus the female. Yes.
Let me ask you a question. You start off the hour with asking me a hard question. I'm going to ask you a hard question.
Okay. I may give you the same answer that you gave me.
I don't know. if honesty and honesty programs are what help people heal, why aren't more churches honesty based?
Well, you know, I was just talking to somebody about one of the churches that I admire the most as being so accepting of folks, and yet there is still this desire to look good, to fake it, to not be open and honest about who you are. And once again, I think we've got it exactly wrong. We try to look good to the people around us while we beg God to fix us, when in reality, we should be begging the people around us, and from a humble standpoint, begging them to help us with our everyday issues and some horrifically horrible issues, while we try to look good to God, while we try to please God rather than please people, please man. And until we get that right, we're going to continue to cover up, to look good. As you jumped in and said, Jill, when a man talked about mm-hmm. lying, you said, because you were ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
And we have nothing to be ashamed of when we stand up in front of people and say, this is my struggle, here is my sin.
But we all feel naked and ashamed.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. So we're not really living the truth that we know and believe. And then sometimes our pride prevents us from being willing to do what we absolutely know is the right thing to do. How is that for an answer?
I think it's a good answer, Steve.
Wonderful.
I just wish that the seminaries of this world would teach our new pastors stepping out into the field how to be this very thing you're describing. Because unless it's modeled, you're not going to do out there what you didn't learn to do in here.
It's trickle downs from the top.
It really is.
Well, I've told this before, but I was so impressed with this church we visited and a recovery group we visited where the pastor stood up and, you know, said, I'm Pastor Jones, and I am a person who struggles with hypocrisy and lust and other things. And I just thought, wow, that doesn't happen anywhere, hardly. And I just admired this man so much that he was willing to be open, and he had created an atmosphere of acceptance of human frailty where he could be open. And that's really what pastors need to do. They need to preach in a way that encourages folks to open up to each other.
Because, Steve, you know, when I was doing The Secrets Women Keep, one of the number one secrets is a woman just like Colleen, Christian women who are lonely in their marriages and don't feel like they can talk about it.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we're glad that you tuned in. Hope that something we've said has been helpful. Please help us help others. You can be the direct help to another person by supporting this ministry through our television, radio, our phone counseling that we do, the call center in Dallas, all of those things. That's what you support. You can do it by going to newlife.com or calling us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Please call now and help New Life.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. to make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.